Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Well, Travis Gale abruptly quit his job as the Montgomery County Health Officer back in August as the Omicron Delta variant COVID-19 was surging. Well, Gales is now telling the story of why he abruptly quit. He says much of it was about racist threats. In testimony before the Maryland House Judiciary Committee, Gales read the text of one offensive email that he received.
You are the prime example why some white folks call black folks the N-bomb. If ever there was a picture that should be attached to the definition for added clarity, your selfie is it. You blank blank. I would say blank blank blank, but I'm sure you have blank blank off of your 10 on the regular, you stupid primate. No, a PhD doesn't make you smart. It makes you ignorant in your case. Your mother needs to be smacked in the mouth for blank, blank, blank. I would say your dad needs blank, blank, blank too, but we both know you don't know him.
Gale says that was one of many that he received in the mail and through email. He was testifying in support of the House Bill 267, which will make threatening a public health official a misdemeanor and punishable up to 90 days in jail and a $500 fine. Now, on to our insight segment. Well, heart disease, it's the number one killer in the black community. February is the start of Heart Month. So tonight, we are having a conversation about our hearts and our health, how to keep the thing that keeps us going healthy. It's a critical conversation on a Medical Monday. We want you to be part of it. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joining us tonight is Prince Alepna, the cardiology fellow with the Department of Cardiovascular Medicine here at the Howard University Hospital, and Sharon Stanley Merriweather. She is the president of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated's Iota Lambda Omega chapter, which is located in Columbia, Maryland. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Prince and Ms. Merriweather, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for the opportunity, Harold.
Ms. Merriweather, let's begin with you. The AKAs, and specifically the Iota Lambda Omega chapter in Columbia, Maryland, is spearheading a heart education, healthy hearts. Next month, you're really going to be involved in this. Talk to us a little bit about what the chapter is doing and why they are doing it.
Thank you, Harold. And first, I want to bring you greetings from the illustrious ladies of Iota Lambda Omega Chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, serving Howard County, Maryland for 50 years, since 1972. But this February is very important for us, and specifically the first Friday in February is what we call Pink Goes Red Community Impact Day. And on this day, we join Alpha Kappa Alpha women from all over the country to take off our pink and wear our red for the day to raise awareness for heart health. And specifically, what Iota Lambda Omega chapter is doing for Pink Goes Red is we're holding a free virtual event, and it's going to include 50-minute interactive sessions. And we did 50 minutes for our 50 years of service. But participants are going to be able to choose between three breakout rooms. One is going to be on CPR Essentials, where you're going to learn about signs of heart attack in women. We're also going to have a heart healthy eating segment. And to get our heart rates up and to get some cardio, we'll also have a soul line dancing. And we have just found through our international leadership of our international president that women's heart health can't be understated in Howard County, and I know in Maryland and in other parts of the country as well, blacks are dying from cardiac issues more than any other race. So we find that because of that, there's a need for a focus on heart health.
Dr. Prince, Ms. Merriweather, you know, she's talking about specifically to the issue of heart health in women. I think often we think of, you know, heart attacks. We know women obviously can have them, but we tend to sort of think of it as a male sort of thing, I would think. Talk a little bit about the issue of heart health in women. You know, how is it different? Are there different issues that women deal with that men don't, or are the issues pretty much the same?
Right. So historically, heart disease has, I mean, coronary artery disease, but practically what leads to heart attack, has historically been thought to be a male-dominated disease. So there was practically lack of recognition of this disease in women. Secondly, women tend to present with atypical symptoms when it comes to, you know, symptoms of heart attack, you know. So a man would typically have chest pain and come to the doctor with chest pain or call EMT with chest pain. Women could have, you know, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, all sorts of, you know, atypical presentations of heart attacks, you know. And secondly, the biological makeup of women is slightly different from men. Women tend to have smaller vessels, blood vessels, which are prone to clogging more so than men. And then lastly, I would say it's practically a delay in getting care, you know, and all these things culminate into, you know, a higher incidence of, relative incidence of heart disease in women than there are in men.
Ms. Merriweather, you were sort of very poignant in talking about heart health care for women. In your chapter, and specifically even in the sorority, there are many community issues that you take on. And this one, you know, is very particular. Was there something in terms of stories, history, members talking about why they felt like this was an initiative that was important to take on? Because I know the sorority takes on many.
As far as heart health is concerned and how it impacts women, we know that sometimes it's not a priority because there are so many other things that women are doing. We're taking care of our families. We're going to work every day. We're taking care of our communities. So it's really just a way to focus on your self-care. And we like to say that self-care is not selfish. And the first thing we can do, the best thing we can do for our families and for our communities is to take care of ourselves. And heart health is one of those really important matters that just doesn't get talked about enough.
Have you had personal experience with heart issues, not you sort of even directly, but family members, friends?
Well, certainly. There have been several women in our chapter who have had heart issues, some very young women in particular who have had heart attacks, and they have given us testimony on what those symptoms were like and how they didn't even know that they were having a heart attack because they hadn't heard about what heart attack looks like in women.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about healthy hearts and how to make sure our hearts stay healthy. And if we aren't doing the right things, what we need to start doing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a personal story to share, we'd like you to share it with us. Dr. Prince, what are some of the mistakes we make in terms of hurting our hearts, what we're doing that we should not be doing or that's easy sort of to change or to rectify, whether it's habits or however you would describe it?
Right. Look, the statistics are clear. A good half, probably 47 to 50% of the population, adult population in America, has at least one of these three risk factors: high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or smoke. You know, it is incumbent on us, you know, in the health sector, and on you guys on radio and everyone, to get a message out there that early recognition of these conditions, high blood pressure, it's important. High blood pressure is a silent killer. So one of the mistakes people make, or we all make, you know, is that we do not have symptoms and hence we think that we are healthy. We do not check our blood pressure, you know. And that's the main reason why high blood pressure is considered a silent killer. So not thinking that until we have high blood pressure, that's when our symptoms will start, is one of the biggest mistakes.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nothing more important than your heart. We need it to keep going, and we need to make sure it stays healthy. That's what we're talking about tonight. We want to hear from you. What are some of the habits you found that have worked for you? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. The Prince, how do we know if we have a heart that's healthy? How do you know it? Are there signs that can tell us that we're in good health heart-wise?
Right. So it's a combination of things. Typically, we would say that you have to get screened, because most of these conditions and risk factors that lead to heart disease creep up silently on you. So unless you go to your doctor and have your blood pressure measured, unless you know what your weight and, in extension, your BMI. BMI is body mass index. It's, you know, sort of the proportion of your weight for your height. Our height really doesn't change. So BMI is that measure of your weight for your height. You know, unless you go to your doctor and have your cholesterol and your blood sugars checked, all these things are the risk factors. So unless you do all these things, you could be walking around and thinking that you're healthy and not really be healthy. Additionally, lifestyle, you know, exercising, you know. I mean, the CDC says we need, as an adult, at least 150 minutes of moderate exercise per week. You know, so if you're getting these exercises in, if you're eating right, getting enough rest, and avoiding smoking, including secondhand smoking, then your risk of getting heart disease is low. I mean, it's not zero, but it's low.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Healthy hearts, our focus tonight. Let's go to the phone lines. Leslie is calling from Upper Marlboro. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
I just had a question. I thought I had heard something about there being an event that the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority was doing as it relates to heart health. Mm-hmm. And I had seen some things in the past that they did online. Just wanted to know if I could find out how I could get involved with that.
Sure. Ms. Sharon Stanley Merriweather, she's the president of the AKA chapter in Columbia, Maryland. And Ms. Merriweather, can you let Leslie know again and our audience what the AKAs are doing in Columbia this month regarding healthy hearts?
Yes. Thank you so much for asking. You can find out more about our events, the Pink Goes Red event and other events, by looking on our Linktree, which is at linktree.com/AKA Iota Lambda Omega. You can also check out our website, which is at AKA Iota Lambda Omega.org. We're going to have an event, a free event and a virtual event on February 4th, where we're going to have three sessions for participants on CPR Essentials, Heart Healthy Eating, and Soul Line Dancing. And in fact, this is a community impact event, and I'm certainly telling you what's going on with Iota Lambda Omega chapter, but there will be AKA chapters all over the country doing Heart Healthy Pink Goes Red events on February 4th. So there'll be plenty to find. You can do ours and many others, because many of them will be virtual.
And so this is a national event, and again, it's very important to know that it is virtual. Folks cannot, you know, show up at the chapter headquarters where the event will not be happening. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Does that help, Leslie?
That's right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We're talking about healthy hearts tonight. Dr. Prince, how has COVID, in our last few minutes before we go to break, how has that affected our hearts, and has that played a part? Are things happening where either COVID is masking heart issues or vice versa?
Right. This is a very important question. So even prior to this pandemic, you know, one of the messages we had always preached as cardiologists was for patients to get, or for the general populace to get vaccinated against the flu. And there was a reason for this, because a big research was done that showed that the flu itself was a risk factor for heart disease. What happens when you get the flu is that your inflammatory markers increase, and really the plaque that develops in your blood vessels around your heart, leading to heart attack, feed on this inflammation, you know? So the same thing is applied to COVID and multiplied by 100 times or more. You know, COVID, it's causing a lot of inflammation, and it's causing a lot of, like, blockages in our blood vessels, and causing many more heart attacks than in the normal the non-COVID population. Secondly, COVID is causing a lot of inflammation in the muscle of the heart itself, what you might have heard on TV as myocarditis. You know, so that from COVID's point of view is just a big impact on heart health.
All right, Dr. Prince Alipna, thank you so much. He's the cardiology fellow with the Department of Cardiovascular Medicine with Howard University Hospital. Sharon Stanley Meriwether, president of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated with Iota Lambda Omega Chapter in Columbia, Maryland. And Ms. Meriwether, real quick, can folks go to a website to get more information about events with the AKAs and Healthy Hearts this month, or next month, rather?
Yes, thank you. The best way to find out about this event and all of the other events that we have is to go to our Linktree, linktree.com/AKA Iota Lambda Omega. And you'll see about the Pinko's Red event and many other events we have for the community.
All right, Dr. Prince, Ms. Stanley Meriwether, thank you so much for being with us. And Ms. Meriwether, best of luck with all that is going on with the great event that you're hosting. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, hang on. If not, give us a call. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I am Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, our focus is on healthy hearts. Hopefully, you have one. And if yours isn't beating quite like you want it to, tonight is the night to find out what you need to be doing to get it beating the way that it should. Our guest tonight is Dr. Paul Underwood. He is the former president with the Association of Black Cardiologists. And you are also part of the conversation. That way you give us a call. That'll bring you in. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Underwood, thank you so much for being with us.
Monte, and certainly thank you for having your audience available.
Dr. Underwood, you know, we started the conversation talking about healthy hearts, and specifically how heart disease affects the African-American community. What is your take on that within the African-American community? The issue, where we are, making progress, in the middle, declining, what's your sense of it?
So certainly, heart disease is the number one killer of all African Americans. Despite all that we hear about violence and HIV and cancers and things of that nature, cardiovascular disease is the leading killer of blacks. And it has been that way for a number of years. I think it's only just come to recognition that heart disease affects blacks similarly to how it affects whites, only it affects us at a younger age and sometimes seems to be more severe. I think a driving force in heart disease certainly is high blood pressure. And as many of us are aware, the high blood pressure seems to run rampant in our communities. It's more prevalent, meaning that more people have it. So more people in our group, in our community, are likely to have it. And then the control rate is less in our community as well. And that has several factors, some of them based on access to health care, some of them based on taking the medicines and doing what we need to do. So those in combination have led to the high rate of heart disease. And in terms of how we're doing, there's been dramatic improvement over the last, 40, 30, 50 years in heart disease in all Americans, but African Americans seem to be lagging behind. And in fact, there seems to be a bit of a plateau in that we're not having the rapid declines that have been seen in the previous decades, and that things have kind of flattened out and our degree of decline has dropped off. So that means that we're kind of losing the race there, and that we would need to do everything we can to redouble our efforts to make sure the heart disease does not affect us.
For men and women, what are the highest, what are the risk groups just in terms of age?
Well, certainly heart disease affects people as they age. So unless there's a congenital problem, you typically don't see it in youth. But what we have learned is that habits that form in youth, say in teenagers, you can see the beginning signs of plaque in the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they're in their 40s and 50s, that's when the plaques become more evident, right? That you can actually start having problems like heart attacks and chest pains and strokes. And then certainly from then until your 80s, that's when you're most likely to run up with problems of heart disease. So it's one of age, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Men have seemed to predominate in terms of developing heart disease, but women develop heart disease, I won't say at equal the rate, but at a very high rate that has only recently been appreciated. I think in the past, people thought that women were spared heart disease, and in fact, it may be a little bit slower because it's typically after menopause that the majority of women start becoming symptomatic. But the disease has been building up through all this time, and certainly by the time you're in your 60s, your risk as a woman is just about as great as it is if you're a man.
Hmm. And how do you find out? I've heard from you, Dr. Underwood, about the issue of plaque. Earlier we heard Dr. Prince Alepna talk about plaque. How do you, we can see it, you know, if you say you have it on your teeth and you're not flossing or brushing well, or even if you do, sometimes some of us, you know, just have more than others. So you can see that. How do you know, or how do you find out before you have a heart attack if you have a plaque buildup? I guess sort of being proactive to address it. How can you find that out?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. Thanks for asking that, but what we can do now is there's a test called coronary CT scan.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a score, a calcium score. And plaque often contains calcium. You can do this x-ray, it's a CT scan, like a CAT scan, it's really fast, and it can tell you if you have any plaque inside on your heart or not. Now, it doesn't mean it's a bad plaque. It can't tell if it's bad or good or anything like that, but it can tell you if there's something there or not. With this information, though, if you have plaque, it lets you know that you really do need to tighten up on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This test is relatively inexpensive. Usually they're from anywhere from maybe $75 to $200. You often see them advertised in the newspapers because healthcare systems want to make this test available, but oftentimes it's not extremely well covered by insurance.
Hmm.
But then again, you don't need to have a doctor either to go to get it. So you can just go and ask for the test. Now, if you have
in a doctor's office, though, correct?
Well, it's typically a radiology suite.
I see.
So it's an X-ray machine. So it's not. I mean, some doctors do have it in their office, definitely, but oftentimes it's kind of associated with a hospital.
I see.
And so it's the hospital that's providing the service, right? And again, the service is relatively inexpensive if you're just going in as a consumer, just someone off the street. Now, a lot of insurances will cover it if you have a reason. So if you know your symptoms, or know symptoms of heart disease, such as chest pain, palpitations, so fluttering in the chest. So those are symptoms, and then you should go see your doctor so you don't have to diagnose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different pathway to understand the plaque and the severity of the plaque if you have symptoms, as opposed to what you're asking is how can you tomorrow find out if you have plaque there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so my answer is, like, for you tomorrow, if you wanted to find out, then you should go get your calcium score, you know, from a coronary CT angiogram.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very rapid and available method that many people would not even know existed.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. February is Healthy Heart Month, and we're at the end of January, so tomorrow it all begins. But every day we should be trying to take care of our heart, because if that stops ticking, we're in trouble. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Underwood, listen, I'm going to tell you, from my standpoint, I don't consider myself overweight, and I've been pretty much slim my whole life, but I'm not the best eater. I love, like, candy bars. I like to drink soda. And I know Dr. Prince had mentioned this, and he was saying, well, you can be a slim person, for those of us out there who are somewhat slim, but still, you may not have a healthy heart. You may not be obese, but you could be fooling yourself by what you're putting into your body and what you're doing to your heart. So talk a little bit about kind of what we see, what we think is the prototypical person who has probably heart issues, you know, who may be obese or maybe very heavy or who may smoke. For those of us who don't really smoke, but maybe don't eat enough fruit and vegetables, eat too much candy, maybe drink too much soda, is that something to worry about in terms of your heart if you're sort of one of those folks that I mentioned that doesn't look like they'd have a heart problem, but you still can?
Well, so that paradox that you've just outlined is a stereotype. Mm-hmm. And the stereotype for someone who has heart disease has typically been basically a white businessman, right? Mm-hmm. And he's out shoveling snow, and he's clutching his chest. Right? That's a stereotype. And what that has done is it's taken the focus away from particularly women and certainly people of color for having heart disease also. Now, so you mentioned several things that could be risk factors. And I'll just lay out the risk factors for heart disease that we can modify. So if you have diabetes, you can change that. Mm-hmm. If you have high blood pressure, you can control that. If you have a high blood cholesterol, you can control that as well. And then if you smoke, you don't have to smoke. So none of those actually say anything about obesity, right? So that's a secondary risk factor. It's not one of the primary risk factors. And so those things such as a high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or even a high blood sugar, you can't really look at someone and tell what their number is, right? So you have to go in and get checked out. And I think that fools people sometimes because they don't see that they are actually at risk for having heart disease because there's no manifestation of it that you can see externally. You have to go, you know, get your blood pressure taken or get your blood sugar taken or get your blood cholesterol taken. Other factors that are very important would be your age. As I said, if you're older, you're more likely to have heart disease. If you're a man or a woman after menopause, you're certainly in a higher risk category. And then it's certainly if there's a family history of heart disease. So someone, grandparents, parents, sisters, brothers, if they have had heart disease, then that places you at risk as well. So those are the risk factors there, and not necessarily how you look. And certainly, up until the time that you have your heart attack, how you're feeling, because this is like high blood pressure, we call the silent killer. It's because it works in the background silently until you have the first event.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about hearts, how to keep them healthy and strong. Our guest tonight is Dr. Paul Underwood. He's the former president of the Association of Black Cardiologists. 202-319-7810. We like your questions or comments on this topic. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hamilton is calling with a question. Go right ahead or comment. Go right ahead, Hamilton. Go right ahead, Hamilton. Still there?
Yes. So my question was the supplement that individuals around 60 or over take for their bones, does that supplement calcium, is that same calcium that you see on a heart that is, I guess, diseased if you take that as?
So is your question, yes. could that contribute to heart disease, Hamilton? Am I correct? Is that what you're asking?
That's right. Calcium supplements that you take for your bones contribute to heart disease?
All right. Thank you so much, Hamilton.
So, yeah, thank you for that question. So the answer is basically no. In the body, calcium is very well regulated. So your bones definitely have a lot of calcium. the calcium that builds up in the plaque is there because of inflammation. And so the inflammatory cells have been there for some time, like years and years, and the calcium deposits in there as areas of inflammation. Not necessarily, it's not saying that your calcium level, like in your blood, is too high. That's not the problem. And if you need to take calcium for supplementation, it means that typically your calcium level is too low, and you're taking calcium out of your bones. If you have plaque in your heart, that calcium that you're taking out of your bones is just being laid down in your heart on the plaque to try to cover the inflammation.
All right, thank you so much. Does that help, Hamilton?
Yeah, that's perfect. I appreciate that information.
All right, thank you so much for calling, Hamilton. Dr. Underwood, mostly every day we all have a lot, going on, a whole bunch that we're dealing with. But with this COVID-19, it really adds to so much more of the, burdens, for lack of a better word, that we just may have to sort of juggle and deal with day to day. Talk about stress. What kind of role does that play on the heart?
So stress plays an important role on the heart, and typically the stress that comes that we're speaking of is chronic stress. It's not the stress of, say, having to cross the street. It's the stress of having life's burdens with you over a period of time. And certainly this has been disproportionately placed on African Americans. What the stress does is it raises your adrenaline level. So the epinephrine or adrenaline that's in your body, it raises that level, and that helps to, it's like pouring fuel onto a fire where it makes your heart beat harder, right? It like wears out your heart. And that's what happens over a period of time with stress, basically. You'll be interested to know that a lot of the medicines that we use for people who have weak heart muscles or even some for high blood pressure, those medicines actually counteract adrenaline. Because an overload of adrenaline on the heart can lead to heart failure and death, early death.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The doctors are in the house. Tonight we're talking about healthy hearts, an important conversation. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll continue this chat right after this break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. We're talking about something that should be important to every one of us, our hearts, and how to make sure we keep them healthy. Stay away from heart attacks. Stay away from heart disease. Our guest tonight is Dr. Paul Underwood. He is the former president of the Association of Black Cardiologists. Dr. Underwood, what's the signs that we're having a heart attack? So we know, to call someone for help or get ourselves to the hospital. How would we know when we're having one? And hopefully we don't, but if you do have one, how would you know it's happening?
So a heart attack typically, I'll say classically, it would be chest discomfort, a squeezing type of chest discomfort. It's very uncomfortable, like an elephant sitting on your chest. And this occurs oftentimes with activity, and then you may notice that it would stop, like when you stop walking, then it calms down. Or if it comes on and just doesn't stop, that's a key sign. With it, there can be shortness of breath. There could be fluttering in your chest, and particularly if there's fluttering with dizziness, like you feel like you're going to faint, that's a very bad sign. Some people actually have like nausea and an upset stomach, and that seems to be a little bit more common in women, that they often report this discomfort as being one more of like an upset stomach as opposed to the chest pain that I described. And then lastly, you can break out in a cold sweat where you just, like in particularly for diabetics, that they'll just start sweating for no reason at all, and that's what their symptom would be.
Those are the
signs of a heart attack.
Are there sometimes false signs? And what I mean by that we think it's a heart attack, or maybe it's just, is it angina or angina? Or I might be mispronouncing
right.
that.
Right. So angina and heart attacks are very similar. So angina is the chest pain and it goes away. And then, say, a heart attack is the chest pain, but it doesn't go away.
Hmm.
Now, angina occurs if there's If there's a partial blockage of a blood vessel feeding your heart, so it's partially blocked, so it doesn't carry as much blood as it should. And that's why I said if you stop walking and you start putting the stress on your heart of exercise, then the pain calms down. But if that artery blocks off all the way, like it clogs up, there's a clot in it, and it blocks off all the way, that's when the chest pain comes on, and it doesn't go away with stopping the rest. So it's all angina. This means pain coming from your heart.
But
now,
does that artery and angina then just open back up?
Depending on what closed it. So it could be spasm. So some people have a spasm of the vessel and it'll spasm and open it back up. Most commonly, it's a plaque.
Hmm.
It's a plaque that may be blocking the artery by maybe 70%, so that only 30% of the amount of blood can get through. That's about the level that it takes to get angina. Now, you can imagine that if that plaque goes on to develop like a 90% blockage or a 99% blockage, you're going to have a lot of chest pain.
And if you're a person, if you're a person then that is consistently having angina, should you be taking yourself to the doctor as a precautionary thing to either have your artery opened up through surgery or have that plaque removed? I would think if you're constantly having angina, as you're saying, it's almost like a precursor to possibly something getting worse, and I would think you would want to then have that rectified before it would get worse. Would that be a recommendation from you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you have angina and you have more frequent angina, you should see your doctor because something has changed.
I see.
And just as you said, this could be a precursor to a heart attack, and it's better to be precautionary, preemptive about this. And as you described, you can have the vessel opened up. Typically, we go through the wrist now to get to the vessel, and we can often look and see where the blockage is, and then we can put in a little stent to open the vessel back up and to hold it open. That's what would be desired in that particular case. Other forms of treatment would be the open heart surgery, like bypass surgery you've heard people have had that, like a triple bypass or quadruple bypass. That's another form. Obviously, it's for people who have more advanced disease because they have three or four vessels that are being bypassed. And then the other part is that some people just require medication, and you don't really know until you have a good idea of how much blockage you have. And that's why it's important to go to the doctor to find out, so that we're not just guessing on how your heart is situated on the inside.
Dr. Underwood, I'm going to assume that this is somewhat of a rhetorical question about physical activity. So I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to guess that having some sort of physical activity in your life is going to help keep your heart healthy. But as you made reference a little earlier, if you're in that stage where your heart is somewhat damaged, then I would think physical activity then could be dicey. So is it that before your heart gets damaged, be sure that you have some type of physical activity? And if so, how does that help your heart?
So the physical activity helps your heart typically by when you work on your muscles in your body and they become stronger. Well, you don't necessarily want your heart to be stronger, but you want it to be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So a well-trained athlete typically has a lower heart rate, a resting heart rate, which means that your blood can pump more heart with each beat. It's more efficient, right? And it uses the energy, the blood, the oxygen that comes through, it uses it in a more efficient pattern, and that's what exercise does. Now, even if you have heart damage, say you have a weak heart, like heart failure, all right, exercise is good, but only up to a certain extent. You don't want to ever wear out your heart and go past its reserve, right? So that can put you in a dangerous category because your heart can become irritable and you can develop abnormal heartbeats, and then that could be very bad for you. But you can imagine that exercising like aerobic exercising, like playing basketball or running, or those types of activities where your heart is beating fast, for a bit, and then you calm down, that's actually good exercise for your heart. And so doing that, as you know, it develops your exercise tolerance. That means that your cardiovascular fitness is improving.
In our last few moments, we talked obviously about the African American community, and I want to circle back to that specifically. You know, we've talked about exercise and, you know, regular checkups. Obviously, what you eat is important. What you drink is important, i.e., how much alcohol you put into your body. Healthy cooking. We know, you know, sort of traditionally in African American communities, oftentimes we, you know, have a lot of fat in our foods, whether it's grease or whatever we're using for that taste might not be the best thing for our hearts. Is there a particular sort of danger in sort of the cultural aspect of our communities in terms of what we eat and those foods being damaging to our hearts, and or also foods that are traditionally in our community that help our hearts?
Right. So that's a very good question. And you pretty much summed it up already. So it's the fats. Some of the fats that we eat are not good. These are the same fats that end up in the plaque, right? And so those are often from animals. So animal fats, as you said, grease, bacon grease, which has been traditional, you know, certainly in my family, I'm sure many other people's family, that's how our grandparents cooked. But that now is not, we know that that's not good. And if you just think about it, if the plaque in your heart is like bacon grease, it's going to be very soft if it's that body temperature, right? And that's what causes the plaques to rupture. And when they rupture is when they clot off. So if you have, like, if you boil some broccoli and you see those little fat droplets on the broccoli, those things are actually pretty hard, right? So if you have a plaque, you'd want a nice stable plaque that's not going to collapse. And plant fats do that. They have, you know, there's some fat in them, certainly not as much as in animals, but there's fat in them. And if your body's building plaque out of those fats, it's going to be more stable and less likely to rupture. So those are cultural aspects. Other aspects that are cultural are how we approach the healthcare system. Now, we've had difficulty for, say, 350 years, you know, almost up until the time of Medicaid back in 1960, in terms of being able to see the doctors that we want to see and not have segregated hospitals, basically, right? So we would go in, like you see, I guess you're in Howard, so the Freedmen's Bureau, right? You see people go into the doctor says, here, take this, and then leave. You don't really question the doctor that much about your condition. You just take what they give you and leave. Things have changed now, and particularly with COVID, where people have to start taking care of themselves and to be a little bit more proactive themselves. So if your doctor tells you you have high blood pressure, you need to get a blood pressure monitor at your home and then understand what the numbers are, where you want your numbers, and test your blood pressure. And if your blood pressure is not where we want it to be, then you should go back to your doctor and tell them that you need more medicine or less medicine or something needs to change so that you can stay within range. Because it's not just enough to know that you have high blood pressure or not. It's really to keep it under control. That's what's going to prevent you from having heart attacks and strokes.
Tonight, our topic was a healthy heart. Plenty of good information. You know what you need to do to keep your ticker ticking in the way that it should. We thank Dr. Paul Underwood, former president with the Association of Black Cardiologists, Dr. Prince Alepna, he's a cardiology fellow with the Department of Cardiovascular Medicine at Howard University, and Sharon Stanley Merriweather, president of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Iota Lambda Omega chapter. We thank all three of our guests for being with us tonight. Very important conversation. That's The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM for this Monday, January 31st. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.